I feel that often we're not aware enough of what's going on in the broader community. I'm talking about the issue of race, of course. So I'm going to invite two people to the stage. You've already met Masood. Maya will also be joining us. So Maya and Masood, please. So before we get started, maybe you can just share a little bit about yourselves with us.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. So my name is Maya. I was born into the Baha'i faith. My mom is American. She's Black. And my dad is an immigrant from Iran. And I was raised in the Nashville community, but I live in Chicago now. So I'm really happy to be here.
Thank you. Well, my name is Masood. Live in Atlanta, Georgia. What's up, Atlanta in the house?
I'm from Atlanta.
The reason I have a Persian name, I read a book called The Slave Trade about 10 years ago, written by an English scholar named Hugh Thomas, and discovered on, I think it's the page 243, that my last name, the one I was born with, which was Bolds, B-O-L-D-S, was tied to a slave ship captain named James Bold from Liverpool, England. With the S added on to indicate slave. So I didn't want to give old good old Captain James power over my name, too. So I went on a search to find another name and decided to stay in the M so my family wouldn't have too much of a transition problem. But that's the story of the name.
Thanks. Thanks for sharing that. Most of us in America, I don't think we know enough about what happened. We don't know enough about the 350 years of slavery. We don't know enough about what followed, the convict leasing, the Jim Crow, mass incarceration. Mm-hmm. We just don't know about a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And of course, the question we hear sometimes, and I'm gonna ask you, if slavery ended 150 years ago, why are we still talking about it?
Well, we're talking about it because it's America's most challenging issue. So that, you know, that's what the writings say, that's what it tells us, so we have to talk about it, because it's still here. I saw a interview between the Nigerian writer Chimamanda Adichie and the Afro-English writer Zadie Smith. And Zadie said that when she first came to the States, she was amazed when she began to learn the history of African... Now, Zadie's Afro-British. She said once she began to learn the history of African-Americans, she said she was astonished that the country still existed because she said, for all intents and purposes, they should have burned it down. So I think that quality, that spiritual dimension of people of African descent is defined in the writings, the pupil of the eye, these distinctions, which are so important to correct the long abuse, the long healing wounds that we're still grappling and dealing with. It's important to understand that we have that spiritual endowment, right?
Thank you. I mean, that's so true. I mean, the real question is, what are we doing, all of us, to try to make an attempt to bring about at least a little bit of healing to the situation? And I'll share with you something that from my perspective, to me, is personal. So I came to the U.S. in 1988 as a refugee with $75 in my pocket. Mm-hmm. But today, I feel like I'm a privileged person in this country. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of immigrants are in that situation. But many immigrants also think that, well, I wasn't here.
Yeah.
My ancestors were not here. So why is it really my business to get involved? Now, I think that as an immigrant who's benefited from this country that was partly built unjustly, I am an accomplice unless I do something about it. But at the same time, I don't want to do more harm than good.
Yeah.
So how do you think individuals like us can get involved and play at least a small role that could be meaningful towards healing?
I think reflection is so important in the question you're asking, because you're right, like a lot of people maybe don't feel like it's their place to participate in this discussion when in reality it's for all of us. Like, racial healing isn't going to happen unless every single person puts in the effort. And so I think reflecting on, like, who are my friends? Who do I surround myself with? Like, what does my circle look like? what are some things that I might have said that are offensive or that people have reacted to and then I might have just gotten defensive about? And I think that it really takes, like, honestly sitting down with yourself and reflecting, like, how much do I really even know about this?
Yeah, I think we have to get over the uncomfortability of things being messy. This business of the oneness of mankind is going to be messy. We're going to make mistakes. I'm going to say something wrong. I'm going to offend a convention. We have to get over that. And we actually have to go into those spaces with courage, realizing that, yeah, it's going to be messy. But, you know, the oneness of mankind is the core principle around which all the other principles of the Baha'i faith revolve. So that elevates it to a level of importance that is even higher than the other principles, right? So if it's that important, I have to sacrifice that sense of being comfortable with things, you just wanting things to be nice and easy. It's not going to be easy. It's not. It's not. But that's good. But the work is good. The mistakes are good. Because that's where the love is.
Yeah.
You know, I love you. I love you enough to want to struggle with it. I love you enough to want to be uncomfortable in it. To make the mistakes in dealing with it. But I'm here with you, brother. And we're going to get through this together.
Yeah. Now, we know that we've had many laws in this country to try to at least make an attempt to bring an end to racism. But it's also clear that laws won't end racism. So how do you think we can change our hearts?
It really goes back to what you're talking about this willingness to be uncomfortable, but also just willing to engage with someone, like on a really basic, like person-to-person level, like inviting someone over to your home or saying, let's go get coffee, or having your kids set up a play date or something like that. Just like really getting to know someone and engaging with people past their visual identities and getting to know people and seeing the commonalities, because we have so much in common. And that's when we get to see we're beautiful because of our differences.
I mean, I think we just have to really cultivate the sense of urgency, the commitment. You know, I think about when I'm working in the studio, right? And I don't always like going to the studio. Sometimes it is annoying as heck. I don't want to be there working on something. But I also know that if I don't go, even when I don't feel like being there, the work won't get done. And I'll just be sitting there with a really wonderful idea that was never realized. So I gotta put in the work. I gotta show up when I don't feel like showing up. I gotta be present. And if we can do that enough times and enough occasions, then we can make some serious, real progress in establishing the oneness of mankind, not as a theoretical supposition, but as a living, breathing reality, which is what the Baha'i Faith says it is.
Absolutely. I'm so grateful that you both accepted our invitation to be here with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.